changed, huh? You got a phone, pick it up, call me.
How come we don't even talk no more? And you don't even call no more? We don't barely keep in touch at all. And I don't even feel the same love when we are no more. And I heard it through the grapevine, we even beefing now. After all the years we've been down, ain't no way no how. This bullshit can't be true. We family, ain't a damn thing.
It's Jade Kolf at the Kolf Man. It is no holds barred. Today's program, we are bringing the heat. We are bringing the fire. On the program today, we've got AFL football. Toby Green lands in hot water again. How did GWS recover from this? We've got the US Open wrap. Nadal wins Grand Slam number 19. Laver Cup coming up this week. And we'll break down Richmond v Geelong and Collingwood versus GWS. Who's going to be taking place in the AFL Grand Final 2019? It's an all action packed show here. This is No Holds Barred.
We don't barely keep in touch at all. And I don't even feel the same love when we are no more. And I heard it through the grapevine, we even beefing now. After all the years we've been down, ain't no way, no how. This bullshit can't be true. We family, ain't a damn thing changed. Unless it's true.
And we are back in the studio. Yes, this is Jade Kolf at the Kolf Man, No Holds Barred Sports Podcast. We've got an action-packed episode, plenty to talk about with the AFL season coming to a conclusion, things really heating up. GWS really under the pump now with the Toby Green news. Came through early this morning, given a one-week ban for his another one of his little discrepancies. He can't seem to keep himself out of trouble, is Green. I think that's something like 19 times up to the tribunal. Very, very impressive rap sheet from Toby Green. We're going to be talking AFL, GWS taking on Collingwood, and we've got Richmond and Geelong this weekend. Big Tom Hawkins out as well for his brain fade there the other night against the West Coast Eagles. Very silly from big Tommy Boy. He cost his teammates dearly. We'll be talking a little bit about that. We've got US Open breakdown. Rafa Nadal wins his 19th major, taking out the young Russian upstart Medvedev in an absolute all-timer. Almost 5 hours on court and five sets. You just love to see those finals. We'll break that down a little bit. And we'll talk about Serena Williams's loss again. Another Grand Slam loss from Bianca Andreescu, the 19-year-old Canadian. We have a new star on the horizon. I first saw Bianca in January in Melbourne at the Australian Open on court 16. More about that. It's a heck of a story. We've got Laver Cup this weekend. We will touch on that too. Team World versus Team Europe. But we're going to start the show with the news on Toby Green and GWS. This guy cannot seem to keep himself out of trouble. Given 1 week for his, well, really, I don't know how to describe it. It's stupidity more than anything. He was in hot water the week before with the Marcus Bontempelli incident, and it probably looked worse than it did this week. You know, escaping with a $7,500 fine. So really dodged a bullet there. And for Green to get himself in exactly the same situation and more hot water than he did the week before, it's just absolutely nothing but brain fade, nothing but absolute real stupidity. And he has put his club under all kinds of pressure now. He's in super form. He's very, very important to what they do and the way they go about their business. He gives them a real edge. He plays on the edge. He plays on the edge of really, you know, going over the top. And yeah, if anything, it looks like this is he's been rubbed out just for the amount of times that he's really been up. There's been huge scrutiny, huge uproar, big backlash. Now, they are going to appeal this this decision. And, you know, I could probably see him getting off. I reckon it's 50-50 in terms of whether he gets off and is allowed to play this week. Clearly, they wanted to make an example of him. Look, I think the guy gets 1 week just for being stupid, just for being completely ridiculous, and, you know, really being involved in something that he should never have been involved in. He was the third man in, and Lachie Neale came up holding his eyes. He had his hands in there for no reason whatsoever. Just a real pest is Green, and he pays the price and looks like he may sit out this week against Collingwood. It'll be a massive out for the GWS. He's arguably their most important player, and news that has just came in this afternoon that Lachie Whitfield looks like he may miss as well. He's got he may have an appendix issue, I believe it is. He has to have his appendix out, something he has to have surgery. So he looks like he's not going to be involved in the contest either. So Green out, Whitfield out, two of their top five players, I think, without a doubt. Green gives them that toughness, gives them that edge that all teams need this time of the year. And Lachie Whitfield, playing off a half-back flank, gives them absolute silky smooth ball delivery and, you know, incredible gut running and just a real week that the GWS Giants did not need. And Coach Nathan Buckley and Collingwood will be sitting back absolutely lapping this up. They've had the week off, the Pies. They're going to be going into this contest pretty much almost at full strength. They're full of class, the Pies. They've got Jeremy Howe back there in the back line. Darcy Moore as well. You know, their list stacks up and their brand stacks up. Steel side bottom, Pendlebury, Taylor Adams has been sensational in the finals. Treloar, the list goes on and on. They are primed to make another run at this AFL Premiership. And GWS, another preliminary final, and they've got nothing but controversy to really to get through. A little bit of adversity this week, and I definitely believe the Pies are looking the goods here in this one there. They're going to be my pick to move into the grand final and play possibly Richmond or Geelong. But Toby Green, yep, absolute stupidity, cost your team. For GWS's sake, I really hope he gets off. Yeah, I think it's a 50-50 call when they go to the tribunal and they take it up to the appeals board. But probably deserving of the 1 week, and let that be a lesson out there that when you're playing a team game, you've got to be mentally switched on and have the right mindset. Otherwise, you pay the price, and we've seen it before. Green really should have taken note the week before, and he really had no business being involved in there. And I think ultimately the GWS are going to pay the price, and a long season will come to an end against the Collingwood Magpies this weekend. Up next, we'll take a look at the Richmond and Geelong. Tom Hawkins has been suspended. He'll be out. We will talk more about that. And then we've got tennis, we've got US Open, we've got Laver Cup. It's all going on. This is Jade Colfe at the Colfe Man. You're listening to No Holds Barred. Yeah, Toby Green. Just got to wake up to himself. Can't be getting rubbed out and suspended, going rogue all the time. He's too important of a player for that team. If they want to win a flag, he needs to be on the park. Simple as that. In saying that, We're moving on. Richmond versus Geelong this weekend. This is another mouth-watering contest. And Tom Hawkins won't be taking part. A brain fade from Tom against the West Coast Eagles. And he'll be watching from the sidelines. And Geelong really already up against it, taking on this Richmond outfit that are absolutely frothing at the mouth to win another flag to redeem their preliminary final meltdown or shock last year against the Pies. And they were completely rabid a fortnight ago against the Brisbane Lions. Just their run, their carry, they play frantic kamikaze style football. And Geelong going into this contest were going to be up against it really anyway. And now Tom Hawkins, the All-Australian full forward, will be out because of a brain fade. Now, I say All-Australian full forward. I really don't think he should have been voted All-Australian full forward. I think that should have went to Ben Brown. That's another show altogether, Benny Brown from North Melbourne. But Hawkins won't be taking part, and they need to figure out how they're going to kick a winning score against this powerful Richmond outfit. And Radigalia was impressive there the other night, playing the deep forward role. But now they need to find another tall forward to come in, or do they play small and really try and really look at a little bit more speed on the outside, a little bit more up and under, maybe play a small forward in that role. So they've got to do some rejigging, and it's really not ideal for the coaching staff of the Cats. And, you know, Richmond, Dusty Martin kicking six there the other week in a powerful display up forward. They are clicking on all cylinders. The week off, they've got Jack Riewoldt. They've got, Dusty Martin in ominous form. They are set. Richmond are set to advance through to another grand final this week. And, the Cats, they finished on top of the ladder. I'm not too sure they have the speed or the outside run to really compete with Richmond, but it's all about Hawkins. What was he thinking when that ball was 35 to 40 yards away and he threw the roundhouse arm, clipping Schofield, dropped him like a sack of potatoes, and he was lucky not to get more than one. I think that was at least a 3 or 4 weeker. Absolutely blatant contact. And I think it was just a scenario of, because we're in finals, all of a sudden the match review panel get a little bit sensitive about rubbing guys out. They want the best players on the park. But the bottom line is this: if the best players are carrying on like thugs and, knocking guys down behind play or raking eyes or just being a real menace, well, you sit on the sidelines. You pay the price. It's really as simple as that. You're a professional athlete. You've got to have the mentality and the mindset to just play footy because there's too much on the line in a team game. And, these guys have cost their teammates. Hawkins, as I said, it was a 3 or 4 weeker, and they've given him one. Really on the proviso that if they make the grand final, that he will take his place. Now, they've got to get through Richmond this weekend, and they've got to play this powerful Richmond lineup on the MCG. We know Geelong, in terms of finishing on top of the ladder, couldn't get that home game to play the home final. They played their first one on the MCG. They looked frighteningly slow against the Pies. The 10-point outcome in favour of Collingwood really was flattering for the Cats. They were absolutely diabolical and pedestrian, playing a slow, kick the ball down the line brand of football, which was not easy to watch. They bounced back against West Coast, but West Coast really didn't have the hunger that they had last year. You could see that they were kind of spluttering all year long, playing inconsistent footy, and West Coast off to a shocking start there the other night against the Cats. They put in a howler. They made a fight back, really only played probably a quarter and a half of good solid footy, got their nose in front, but then were really overpowered in the last quarter against the Cats. And West Coast just didn't have the hunger. That they really didn't. They paid the price. And, so this week, Geelong, what kind of brand do they bring to the table? I think they go the smaller, bring in a smaller player for Hawkins and go all out speed, because this Kamikaze Richmond brand of footy is absolutely breathtaking to watch. And these guys are hungry. And, Geelong are going to have to make this a war. Otherwise, they are going to be in all sorts of trouble, and they will be out of the finals early. Once again, a lot of pressure on this Geelong team to get the job done, but I think Richmond's confidence really is at an absolute all-time high, going for something like 10 or 11 wins in a row, and their record at the MCG is absolutely formidable. And Tommy Hawkins really needs to apologise to his teammates and the Geelong fans, for starters, because that brain fade, really at this time of the year, is absolutely inexcusable, and he really has nobody else to blame but himself. This is Jade Colfe at the Colfe Man. This is No Holds Barred. Hawkins, absolute brain fade. I mean, I just don't get it. You work hard all year long to get yourself in a position to play in a grand final, and you play a great game, things are going well, and you have a brain fade, whack a guy 40 yards off the ball, and now you've got to sit out against the hottest team in all of football, in the Tigers. Just silly. Are we going to segue onto some tennis and World Tennis US Open completed in the books in New York? And it was that man, Rafael Nadal, in an absolute humdinger of a battle with Dani Medvedev of Russia. And this thing went almost 5 hours. What a match. And Medvedev is the real deal. He had a brilliant American summer, losing only a couple of matches. He lost a final at 500 level to Kyrgios, lost another final at 1000 level to Nadal, and then lost the US Open final to Nadal. He played a lot of tennis. And for him to make the final and to go down 6-4 in the fifth set, a huge effort from the young Russian. And he will be around for quite a while. This has been on the cards, and he is a Grand Slam threat. An amazing two-hand backhand, very similar to Novak Djokovic. Not much can go wrong with that shot. Straight back, straight through. He's got a bomb on the first serve, but what I like most about him is just his mentality. He's just not like these other young guys and goes off the brain. He's very, very steady mentally. It gives you absolutely nothing, and he's only going to get stronger. And he's not to be underestimated anymore. I had a lot of people talking about, geez, he doesn't look like an elite athlete or a world-class tennis player. He looks more like a computer technician, but this guy is the real deal, and I believe he will win slams. He is going to be a major winner, and he was very close to getting the job done against Nadal. Nadal basically fell over the line. He was up against it. Start of the fifth set, Medvedev just took his foot off the pedal a little bit, got a little bit passive from the back of the court. He took some pace off, was really hoping for Nadal to miss, and it was enough for Nadal to jump out to a 5-2 lead in that fifth set because the intensity from Medvedev just went away a little bit, just slightly. We're talking about small margins here, and he couldn't run down the Spanish superstar. So Nadal moves on to 19 majors. He looked strong throughout the 2 weeks, and he moves on to the Laver Cup, which will be taking place this weekend. We'll get into more about that a little bit later on the show. We'll talk about the lineups of Team World and Team Europe and what's going to go down on the third installment of the Laver Cup. And it should be a beauty. But Nadal moves to 19, and he is a real, real threat to pass Roger Federer, who was on 20 slams. Come the French Open next year, these two could be tied up. And it is a real concern for the Swiss maestro, that is for sure. And it may come down to he's blown quite a few major championships as Federer, losing match points in semifinals. The Wimbledon one could come back to haunt him. He had match points against Novak Djokovic at Wimbledon, went down in a five-set all-timer, led 40-15 and serving. And you've really got to take advantage of these opportunities. And when it's all said and done, and the end of their careers, Nadal could well be the guy that sits atop the major trophies and the Grand Slam record books for individual singles titles, because the French Open come next year, it'll be a brave man to bet against the Spanish superstar in Nadal. But Medvedev is for real. He will be around for a while, and it was an absolute all-timer of a final there in New York. Well done to both men. Up next, we will talk about the women's final, Serena Williams and Bianca Andreescu. Williams pulls up short again. I'm going to come back. I'm going to tell you why. I'm going to tell you what I saw in January this year in Melbourne on court 16 in round one. Yes, indeed, it was Andreescu, the Canadian star. But she wasn't a recognised star then. But she had superstar written all over her. We're going to come back and talk about that. We'll talk about Novak Djokovic and his injury in New York. What to expect from him. And Roger Federer losing to Grigor Dimitrov. He'll be taking place in the Laver Cup, of course, this weekend. This is Jade Kolff at the Kolff Man. This is No Holds Barred. Yeah, Medvedev. Who would have thought out of those guys? Alex Zverev is taking a step back. He looked like the real charger to impact and break through the big three. Kyrgios, crazy. We know what he brings to the table. Funny to watch. Highly entertaining, but just straight up crazy. Medvedev, he's steady, calm, focused. Very robotic about the way he goes about it, but look, I think we're looking at a major winner here. Women's final, Serena Williams and Bianca Andreescu, and Williams pulls up short once again, goes down to the Canadian sensation. The 19-year-old wins her first major and the first major by any tennis player in the country of Canada. These guys, Canada has been on the map, exploded onto the map over the last probably 3 to 5 years. Big Milos Raonic was really the first guy to blaze his way up the rankings, but now they have a stable of youngsters led by this young lady, Bianca Andreescu. They have Denis Shapovalov, Felix Alamassime, as well. The youngster who is, I think he's in the top, maybe the top 20 now. He was definitely the top 25. And he is, him and Shapovalov, things are looking very, very healthy for the men's game for Canada. And what about this girl, Andreescu, who wins the US Open, coming from nowhere? A lot of people think that she's come from nowhere when really, look, she's had an astonishing year, something like 32-4 on the season. And I first saw Andreescu in Melbourne January this year, 2019, at the Australian Open. I was just out. This is how the story goes. I was just out walking around the outside courts. I think it may have been on the Monday or the Tuesday of the event. And she was out there on court 16, on the very far court there on the outside grounds there at Melbourne Park. And I said, I was just doing the rounds, just passing some time, waiting for the next crop of men's matches to go on. And out there on court 16, and she was playing a first round match, and I probably only stopped for 5, maybe 7 minutes. And the only reason why I stopped was because I saw her there, and obviously I'd never heard of her name before or seen her play. I looked at the scoreboard and saw that she was from Canada, and I thought straight away, oh, we've got another Canadian player here. Looked her up on the WTA rankings, and she was well outside the top 100 in the world. I think about 120 in the world rankings at the time. But what I did see was next to her name was her age, and she was just 18 years of age. And I was blown away. I could see within, just a handful of points in that first round match that how athletic she was, how explosive she was, and the confidence that she had within herself, with her presence. You could just see it was oozing out of her. And yeah, what I saw there, I looked, and she'd come through the qualifying, won a couple of qualifying matches, and she, she looked the real deal. So I come out of that, only hung around for about 7 minutes, really caught my eye, walked off, went about my business, and then went and watched her round two match. And, I made the call. She went down in a tough three-setter, looked like she was really out of gas by then, with two tough qualifying matches, a tough first rounder. I think the first rounder may have gone deep into the third, and she went down and ran out of legs in round number two against one of the seeded girls. I think it was the Ukrainian girl, one of the Ukrainian girls. But from what I saw, the writing was on the wall. I called it out and said, keep your eye on this girl. She's going to fly up the rankings, and I think she could be a future star. And since that day, she, as I said, she's gone something like 32-4 on the season. She's won a couple of 1,000 events, Masters events. She won the one in Canada at home. She won one leading into the US Open, and now she's taken out the US Open. So no surprise from myself. People would have seen her for the very first time in New York. And she is well and truly the real deal. Strong, athletic, a powerful presence. But not only that, though, shows fantastic resilience and mental focus and determination. She is tough as nails and full of character, and that is what you need, in all areas of sport. It's not just about the talent or the athleticism. It's about the what's inside, and she has got plenty of that, plenty of resilience, plenty of determination, and she showed that against Williams. Because things were unraveling there in the second set, as Williams made her charge, and it just showed what Bianca Andreescu is all about, as she was able to close that out, and a new star has emerged on the in the women's game, and it is exciting. The women's game is very, very open now, and that is exciting for Canadian tennis, but also women's tennis in general. So that is the Andreescu story. I called it out, and it has occurred. It has happened sooner than I thought, I will admit, but great to see as well, because who doesn't like to predict what will go down, and it occurs. So well done to Andreescu, well done to Tennis Canada, and well done for the women's game. It's fantastic. Up next, we are going to talk about the Laver Cup taking place in Geneva over the weekend, starting Friday. Team World, Team Europe. I'm going to break down the players and what will go down. This is Jade Kolff at The Kolff Man. You're listening to No Holds Barred. And we are back on the show, No Holds Barred Sports Podcast. You're with the Kolff Man, Jade Kolff, and the Laver Cup taking place in Geneva this weekend starts tomorrow. It's a quick fire event, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's only in its third installment, is the Laver Cup. I think Roger Federer, it was his idea to have an event that honors Rod Laver. We know how highly he speaks and always talks about the past champions of the game. And it was really, Federer's brainchild, I believe. I believe he has a huge stake in the Laver Cup with some other significant investors, I believe it is. And last year, I believe it was held in Chicago. This year in Geneva in Switzerland, it'll be played indoors. And Team World versus Team Europe. And a lot of when you're getting conversations about people about the Laver Cup, some traditionalists, they don't like it. Some do like it. When I first was made aware of the Laver Cup a couple of tour seasons ago, wasn't really sure about it. But I think it's got legs. I think it's a good concept. A little bit of team tennis, a little bit of over a weekend with Davis Cup format changing. I don't know how if that's going to really stick long term. The Davis Cup format, there was nothing wrong with it. But basically, it's been done due to money. Not too sure how that will pan out. The Davis Cup format now, we have looking at 1 week at the end of the year. All teams come together, all nations come together, only best of three sets. So there's no home and away ties. Really takes away from what Davis Cup was all about. But I think this Laver Cup has got legs. I think it can be something that sticks on the calendar. I think people, over a weekend where you bring the best players in Europe and obviously you have a world team as well. It really depends to see once Federer retires from the game, if there's any interest, Federer, Nadal, these kind of players. Djokovic won't be taking part in this Laver Cup, recovering from injury, that shoulder injury that that he first showed at the US Open there, going down in the fourth round to Stanley Wawrinka. So no Novak. But you take a look at Team Europe, and the lineup is that you got Rafa Nadal taking part, Roger Federer, Dominic Thiem, Alex Zverev, and Stefanos Tsitsipas for Team Europe. And Team World, I really had to look at this twice because this looks like a total mismatch on paper. John Isner, Milos Raonic, crazy man Nick Kyrgios, Taylor Fritz, Denis Shapovalov, and Jack Sock. So Those are the teams. And when I saw the names of Taylor Fritz and Jack Sock, really Team World, well, basically they're up against it. You look at the powerful lineup of Team Europe, as I said, Federer and Nadal, obviously the two big names there. And then you have, Zverev and Dominic Thiem as well. And Tsitsipas has cemented himself into the top 10. But besides, Kyrgios on there on Team World, you're really looking up against it. It looks like a mismatch. So, really don't know what the situation is there. Team World, I thought, could be a little bit stronger. Because you take a look at that roster, and let's take a look at those matchups. Nadal, Isner, mismatch. Federer, Raonic, mismatch. Thiem, Kyrgios, probably 50-50. Zverev, Fritz, mismatch. Tsitsipas, Shapovalov, maybe 50-50. And then you've got, Jack Sock for Team World there, he's outside the top 200 in the world in singles. So he could only really be used for doubles. He is just so far off the radar singles wise Jack Sock. It's he's not even shouldn't really even be at the event, let's be honest. And I forgot the guy there for Team Europe, the Italian Fabio Fognini, top 15 player, actually broke into the top 10 in the middle of this year during the clay court season. So looking at the rosters, Team Europe, it's really Team Europe by how much. They've got some bombers there. Kyrgios can bomb it down. Raonic, Isner, and Shapovalov. He is an explosive offensive talent. Doesn't play enough defense for my liking. That's why he's not in the top 10. Hasn't developed that part of his game. But it gets underway in Geneva. On Friday, we'll run through till Sunday, and the Laver Cup, and Team Europe, you would expect to get the job done with Federer and Nadal. Looking at those teams there, Kyrgios is going to have to produce something special to carry that singles roster there. He's more than capable of doing that, is Kyrgios, but as we know, he's highly volatile. He likes the team concept. He seems to have played better, more mentally engaged during the Laver Cup of previous campaigns, as well as Davis Cup. It's like when he's out there by himself on an island, he's really unpredictable, take it or leave it. But if he's in a situation where his performance and his mental attitude is based around letting a team down or letting other players down, he seems to have a little bit more care with his performances out there. So, I'm expecting big things from Kyrgios this weekend at the Laver Cup. If not, if he doesn't produce his very best, it's going to be all one-way traffic, one would suspect, for the powerful Team Europe lineup, because they are littered with absolute superstars all the way through. Headlined by, obviously, Roger Federer and Rafael Nadal. Up next, we are going to wrap up the show. We are going to combine two segments. We're going to talk some hoops, a little bit of World Cup basketball in China, and we will also bring you the Kolf face. The Kolf face on this episode was going to be on Toby Green and Tom Hawkins for their selfishness and stupidity, their brain meltdowns, which have cost their clubs. I think Green will probably get off. I think the AFL will go weak with the tribunal with that appeal and let him play. Seeing Lockie Whitfield is out with that appendix problem, that appendix issue. The AFL and the match review panel, they've been nothing but absolutely ordinary all season long, and I expect them to throw this out due to the backlash. And look, the match review panel in the AFL are soft. It's really as simple as that. They stand for nothing. They don't stand for anything at all. They've been inconsistent and they've made absolute balls ups of massive on all kinds of issues this year long. And so I expect Green to play. But up next, we've got Hoops World Cup from China. We're going to wrap up the show and we're going to get into the coalface and the USA basketball team. They are going to be on the coalface. More of that after this break. This is Jade Colf at the Colf Man. This is No Holds Barred. Yeah, the Laver Cup. I think it's got legs. I think it, over a weekend, like the concept, team concept. I think more team events at the highest level. The Davis Cup scenario is a tragedy. It's disgusting, actually. I believe it will come back to its old format, but until then, I like the Laver Cup concept to kind of fill that that void over a weekend, get some of the best players, and because it's such an individual sport, you know, outside of the slams, Australian Open, French Open, Wimbledon, US Open, you've got to create some buzz, got to create some excitement. You know, I think this Laver Cup has the potential to do that. Welcome back, No Holds Barred Sports Podcast. Jade Colf at the Colf Man. Been an action-packed episode. It really has. And we are going to wrap things up. We are going to talk some hoops. And obviously, being the off-season of the NBA, the World Cup of basketball over there in China has been taking place over the last few weeks. And the Australian national team pulled up short on a medal once again, finishing fourth. That was devastating how they lost the semi-final to Spain. Double overtime, had some chances. Paddy Mills missed a free throw late. A couple of dubious calls once again that went Spain's way against us. And big Andrew Bogut really opened up and unleashed on what he thought about that. But could have gone either way, and then we lost the medal game to France. Beat France in the pool game scenario, but lost in the one that mattered for the medal. I think the boys were out of juice; they were out of gas for sure. Look, Tokyo Olympics with some NBA stars there. Possible Simmons to take his spot. He obviously will make a difference, and I think there's every chance that they can compete for a medal there and get that coveted first medal in Olympics or World Championships or World Cup, World Cups of basketball. But Spain won the gold medal, and they beat Argentina there in the gold medal game. But what we're going to talk about, Team USA here. On the last segment of this show, and we're going to finish the show with the coalface. Yes, the coalface, and it was going to be on Toby Green and Tom Hawkins for their stupidity and lack of having a brain. They won't be taking place in the major preliminary finals this weekend. That's their own fault. I think Green may still get off because of the softness of the AFL and the match review panel system. They are appealing. That'll go up against the appeals board tonight. I think you'll get off. But it should have been just given a week just for stupidity. How many times have you got to go up and get rubbed out before you learn your lesson? But, you know, to do it in the finals, absolute brain fade from Green. But the coalface today, Team USA. And Team USA came over here, plenty of hype as usual, and they played the Boomers in a doubleheader there in Melbourne over a weekend, and they were highly criticised for not bringing out their stars, LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, you know, James Harden, Russell Westbrook, the list goes on. And they basically came out to Australia with a makeshift lineup. And Australia got them out of the two games. Australia got them in game number two. And it was their first loss in something like 65 international games. And going into the World Cup in China, well, the USA just completely fell apart. And is it any surprise they had Greg Popovich as the head coach? Steve Kerr was on his coaching staff as one of the assistants. They got the coaching right. There's no doubt about that. Popovich, for as grumpy and how boring he can be, and Steve Kerr, you can't deny their success with San Antonio and the Golden State Warriors. But the team that they brought out was probably a third or fourth grade team unit, with Donovan Mitchell probably being their biggest star, I guess you could say. He wouldn't even be, if they brought out LeBron, Durant, Harden, Westbrook and their top blue chippers or their A graders, you know, Mitchell probably wouldn't even make the team. You had other guys in there like Jason Tatum. I think he has tremendous upside. But you look at some of these names, Marcus Smart of the Boston Celtics, he comes off the bench for his club team, for the Boston Celtics, and some nights is lucky to even get playing time. You've got Mason Plumlee. Yes, you heard that name correctly. Mason Plumlee on the national team. Joe Harris. I hadn't even really heard of this guy. I believe he was a part of the bench mob for the Brooklyn Nets there last year, who really overachieved and you know, made the playoffs. But Joe Harris was one of their three-point bombers. Trying to think who the other guy was from San Antonio. White for San Antonio, who apparently is starting in front of Patty Mills, which is a joke, out-and-out joke. I think Mills is being wasted there in San Antonio and you know, needs to leave. I think he could be a possible 20-point scorer and maybe 8, 9, 10 assists at a club such as, you know, Charlotte or Washington or one of these clubs that where he could be ball dominant. But some of the players that they brought out, as I said, Harris, Plumlee, Marcus Smart, White, trying to think some of the bigs that they had out there. They had Lopez. You know, for Team USA, is no surprise that you not only did not win the gold medal, but you didn't even medal or make it any one of the major finals. You know, losing badly to lost to the French, I think, which knocked them out. Then they lost to Serbia as well. So, you know, the coalface, when you're bringing out players such as Marcus Smart, Mason Plumlee, and Joe Harris, you don't deserve to really be in the conversation as the world's best. It's embarrassing. But not only that, though, it's disrespectful to those other teams that you know, brought their best international players. And the United States, they pulled up way short. You could see the other teams were hungrier. The other teams played team basketball, and the other teams were basically just better to watch. They were all in. Team USA were never all in, and that's why you're on the coal face today. You know, Mason Plumlee can go back to his bench role there in the United States. Marcus Smart can hope that he gets another contract with the Boston Celtics. Smart needs to go and work on his three-point shooting in the off-season. And Joe Harris, well, you know, really, Joe Harris wearing a Team USA jersey, it really had disaster written all over it. And Team USA and their mediocre squad, today you have copped the Kolf face. Simple as that. Up next, we're going to wrap up the show. We will talk about what's coming up next, when the next episode will be launched. We've got plenty of sport going on. This is Jade Colf at The Colf Man. You're listening to No Holds Barred. Well, Team USA, obvious Colf face there. Jeez, what'd they finish? They finished seventh? Yeah. They finished seventh at that World Cup in China. Lost to Serbia, and I think they only just scraped past Poland to finish seventh. So, got some work to do. Team USA before the 2020 Olympics. So, should be interesting. Need to get there. Their act together, their top liners in. Because Plumlee, Smart and Harris are not going to cut the mustard, let me tell you. Well, what a show. What an action-packed show. No holds barred. Plenty going on. We'll be back on Sunday to wrap up both preliminary finals, AFL, Richmond and Geelong, GWS and Collingwood. Expect Toby Green to get off. Expect him to play. And we will also talk about the Laver Cup there on Sunday as well. And the NFL is up and about and in full flight. Tom Brady going absolutely crazy. The Patriots looking red hot early on. We'll be bringing you some NFL action on the next round of games. This has been Jade Colf at The Colf Man. You've been listening to No Holds Barred. We'll see you on Sunday.
Watch your hands, don't you? You got a phone. Pick it up. Call me.
How come we don't even talk no more? And you don't even call no more? We don't barely keep in touch at all. And I don't even feel the same love when we hug no more. And I heard it through the grapevine. We even beefing now. After all the years we've been down, ain't no way, no how. This bullshit can't be true. We family. Ain't a damn thing changed unless it's
so
you.
So full of life and vibrant, side by side, wherever you was riding, I went so close, almost on some Bonnie and Clyde shit. When Ronnie died, you was right by my side, with a shoulder to cry on, a tissue to wipe my eyes, and a bucket to catch every tear I cried inside it. You even had the same type of childhood I did. Sometimes I just wanna know why. Is it the juice that came to yours and mine? I survived it. You ran the streets, high 9 to 5, it. We grew apart as time went by us, and I blew up to both yours and mine surprises. Now I feel a vibe, I just can't describe it. Much as your pride tries to hide it. Your cold, your touch, it's just like ice. In your eyes is a look of resentment. I can sense it and I don't like it.
How come we don't even talk no more? And you don't even call no more? We don't barely keep in touch at all. And I don't even feel the same love when we hug no more. And I heard it through the grapevine. We even beefing now. After all the years we've been down, ain't no way, no how. This bullshit can't be true. We family. Ain't a damn thing changed.
It was my dream at first to be all spitting the